Hey guys, welcome to a new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. As we're going to talk a little Big 12 football today, recapping the bowl season for a league that I thought really struggled this year. Didn't think it would be very good going into it, but I will say that I'm very, from an Iowa State standpoint, I'm scared for next year. From the conference standpoint, I think the Big 12 is going to be really good in 2017. Before we dig in, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Heartland Flags. Actually, I just hung up a new Heartland flag that I got, Gray, in my new office downstairs.
I hear you got it decked out.
Yeah, well, it's not completely done yet, but I actually placed an order with Heartland Flag not too long ago.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Good service there. Kevin's a great guy.
Well, I'm looking for the. I like the. So I'm also in the market to get a. I just want to buy like a little camper.
Oh.
To take the NASCAR races and just totally redneck it out, and they've got the NASCAR flags. So I get my like Chase Elliott flags there and
some Danica flags?
Probably not.
Is she still racing?
Yeah, she's still around.
Is she?
She sells enough t-shirts, she can keep her job. Sells enough I guarantee you if you talk to the boys at Heartland,
yeah.
That
it's probably the number one seller.
They of all the Earnhardt.
Yeah.
Earnhardt and Tony.
What about Jimmy Johnson?
No.
He wins.
You mean Douche Johnson?
But does he win?
Yeah.
But he doesn't sell?
No, because he's boring. That's the problem with him. Like, I could make a solid argument. I don't want to get into
this. He's the Tim Duncan of NASCAR?
He's ruined the sport, him winning all that. Like, if it were somebody with a personality, like, it would be great for NASCAR. But he's so boring. Like, it's hard to hate the guy, and it's hard to like him either. He's so boring.
Is it like, you see the movie Drive?
Yes.
The guy that started winning a lot, he was just boring as well. All he cared about
Correct.
Was winning. That's Jimmy Johnson, huh?
Yeah, except Jimmy's, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I could pick that apart, but we probably shouldn't talk NASCAR too much because people will complain.
I'd start to complain.
Heartland Flags. Check them out. The ad is on our website, CycloneFanatic.com. Want to dig into the Big 12 bowl season. Really good. Really solid all the way around. It was topped off on Monday night when Oklahoma just routed Auburn. I was confident in that one. I actually liked the Big 12 bowl matchups heading into it, but then there were some surprises, Adam. Like, Kansas State was a toss-up. Oklahoma State was a toss-up.
Yep.
And those two teams really – those were the highlights, I thought. The rest of it – Baylor as well, but those early bowl games are just so hard to tell who's going to show up. But, man, I thought statement wins for the Big 12, Kansas State, and also Oklahoma State.
You know, I thought all year, the Big 12 was, out of all the Power Five, was the worst conference.
Yeah.
I said that many times. I still think that, but there is no question that it wasn't as big of a gap as what I was thinking. I thought it was by far. I thought there was nobody even close.
Mm-hmm.
But they showed they can play. And more than anything, they showed that next year, the teams that Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Oklahoma come back.
They're loaded.
Those are three teams that could be top 15 teams all year long.
Totally agree. I think Oklahoma State's offense.
With Mason Rudolph and Washington coming back.
And if you look into their, I don't know how much you looked into their recruiting a little bit, but they've got JUCOs coming in all the right places, baby.
And they got a mullet for a coach. He's got the hair flowing.
They're going to be good. It's going to be hard to pick against Oklahoma in the preseason poll with what they have. And obviously Baker Mayfield. But I'm telling you, Mason Rudolph's like a Heisman dark horse for next year. He'll be in the conversation. He's going to put up enough stats. He's good enough. He's going to be in that conversation.
He will. They sling the ball. He's got one of the top wide receivers in the country returning next year in Washington.
And one of the top arms, too.
Yeah.
He's a
first-round quarterback.
No question.
I really think he will be first-round quarterback.
I think – and by the way, news today, Patrick Mahomes is going pro.
Man.
That's official. So he's going pro. So the Big 12 loses one elite quarterback in college football. But those two Oklahoma kids next year, man.
How good was Mayfield last night in that game?
Oh, he was – you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Baker Mayfield because, like, I
– He's a little cocky for you?
No, not anything like that. It would be like if I'm, like, a GM, right, and I'm looking for a – if I'm putting together my college team, I don't – there's a lot of guys I like more than him, but then he just produces. He's got a little Favre to him.
A little Russell Wilson?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of both of those guys, I think. And I'm not a huge Favre guy. We'll argue this until the day we die. But all he does is produce, and I can't argue that.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him in the NFL. I wouldn't either. As good as he is, he's got some nice weapons around him.
I'd take Mahomes or Rudolph over him any day.
I might take Rudolph over all three. And I love Mahomes' ability to throw the ball. I just don't trust him in the pocket.
I would take Rudolph over all three if I'm putting together an NFL team.
Two best quarterbacks I saw all bowl season, though, were Darnold from USC and then North Carolina's quarterback.
I didn't get to watch that game because I was up in Ames.
He threw a couple bad picks, but you watch the way he throws the ball. That guy, he'll go top five.
And then you've got old man Snyder in Kansas State. They were really impressive in their 33-28 win over Texas A&M. Okay, we're projecting the Big 12 preseason poll. It goes Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas State 3, or will they get snubbed and dropped lower than they deserve to be like normally happens?
What does West Virginia return?
They've got that Florida kid who's going to be their quarterback next year, that Greer.
Oh, Will Greer?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's their quarterback next year. I'm less confident on what they have coming back, but I still they're going to be good. There's no doubt about that. Holgorsen got his extension all as well in Morgantown, but I still think you have to put Kansas State above them.
I would agree, but it would not surprise me if either one of those teams 3-4 and then you see TCU fifth.
TCU, yeah, they bring pretty much everybody back.
Yeah.
And you got Gary Patterson, who has a proven track record.
Problem is, no one can trust Kenny Hill right now. No one knows you're going to get out of him production-wise.
Yeah, I can't argue that at all.
So
what? Where does Texas fit in? Six? Tom Herman, I mean, they've got talent there.
Yep, they're probably sixth. And then Baylor seventh, Iowa State eighth, Texas Tech ninth, Kansas tenth.
Is Baylor seventh?
Yeah, they still return a decent amount. They have no depth, though. That's their problem. They have no depth. The question is going to be how many guys transfer out or leave, because it would not surprise me if a lot of guys left that program.
I would put Iowa State above Baylor.
Okay.
And I would put Kansas State – or I would put Kansas last and maybe Texas Tech last.
So you have Iowa State 7, Baylor 8, yes. Texas Tech, and Kansas.
Yeah.
So Iowa State 7. And this year, how many teams made six teams? From the Big 12 made it?
Yeah.
So you think Iowa State's just...
I got Iowa State bowling next year, 6-6. I don't know how they get there. They're 6-6.
Okay.
As long as, like, we don't have a crazy offseason of attrition.
They can't... Iowa State can't afford it. They still need to go out and get one or two more studs, in my opinion.
I thought at this time last year they had a chance to go bowling this year, but then they lost all those guys.
It's easy to forget about that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You go back and you...
Think about all the production they lost.
Yeah. Well, and the linemen. That was the big thing. Deontay Burton, Dunning, Campos. I mean, those are three guys that you were counting on to be starters for you. All gone.
Yes.
Next thing you know, you're starting.
Where would you put Iowa State or Baylor 7?
Oh, I would put Iowa State. I don't think the votes will come in on Iowa State. I think Baylor will get it by the media.
I don't know, man.
They're not going to put Iowa State up there.
Baylor, I mean, like, how many scholarship guys are they going to be working with?
Not many.
It's just hard to do.
Is Katie Kent?
He's leaving.
He's leaving. He's going pro?
Yeah. He's announced that he's leaving.
Okay. He's a stud.
They lost that Stedham, the quarterback.
Yep. He's going to be at Auburn next year.
Yeah. I mean,
Iowa State should have beat him this year.
That's my point.
Yeah, they should have beat him this year.
And I think that it's not like, I don't know. It's going to be weird. They're a wild card, man. It's really hard to predict. I don't like their hire. I think that if Matt Rhule gets hired at Boston College or North Carolina or whatever, you're like, hey, good hire. That guy can coach. I don't think it's going to work.
Did you see his first hire, though?
Yeah, it's his Texas coaches. Yeah. I get it. And that's good for him. Like,
smart.
If he's going to win, it's going to be because he makes hires like that. Like, I think this guy's a fine coach. I just – when you factor in what he's taking over.
My question is, why would he have taken that job? That's not a good job right now.
No, it's not. And he was talking during their bowl broadcast, and I think he was in a really hard spot. And I thought the ESPN commentators were terrible with the interview that they did. It was horrible. But, you know, he didn't give a very good answer, but it was a really bizarre question the way it was framed to him. And it was more along the lines of, you know, God calling me and my wife to the spot, you know. Feel like we should be here. This is our calling and all this stuff.
So the
whatever.
Same answer that every coach gives when they go to a new job. They all pretty much say the same thing.
Especially Baylor, where
yeah,
it's a Baptist school. He's not Baptist, but he's got some relation. Either his dad was a pastor or something like that. I'm not sure exactly. So I'm with you, though. I mean, I think Baylor's best option, would if they could have gotten Morris from SMU, that would have been perfect.
And they almost had him, didn't they? Something went south.
Something
there.
Went awry right at the end. Even Kansas's coach, Beatty. Somebody like, I mean, a Texas dude. I think that was Baylor's best shot because they're so far behind because of all the bad pub that they've gotten in recruiting.
You can't hire a coach that's won 4 games in 3 years.
I know,
though.
But I'm saying that kind of a guy.
Sure.
Well, the hire that Kansas made, they did that strictly for recruiting purposes in the state of Texas.
Yep.
Not necessarily him.
How's it worked for him?
Not well, but I'm glad that they extended him, though. Because you can't make a hire like that, no, like that guy who has no experience, and pay him $300,000 a year or whatever they're paying him, and then you can't just fire him 3 years later.
No, especially in a program like Kansas.
Yeah, like it's a developmental deal. Yep. If you hire a guy like that, you need to be all in with that guy and give him actual time. They're getting better. They're not as terrible as they were 3 years ago.
Oh,
they're bad, but they are. That program is getting better.
A little bit. At least their quarterback that came in and played against Iowa State was a freshman. So you can play.
They've got younger guys who are competent. They did not have that at the end of the Weiss era.
Yeah, which is crazy.
I mean, listen, I'm not predicting that this Dave Beatty.
You've always liked Kansas. We know this.
No, I've always had I have a soft spot for them because I feel for.
There's some similarities there for Iowa State.
And that would be really hard. That would be really hard to go to a Orange Bowl and then, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden the bottom just falls out from under you. And yeah, I don't know.
I
have a soft spot for them, but my analysis of their program is they were so bad. Like there has been a little bit of improvement.
Yeah, no, I agree. It to me, it is the toughest football job in the Big 12.
Yes.
I mean, you look at that stadium. You look at the fan base. Yeah, it's a basketball school.
At least they don't have the track around the stadium.
They got rid of that. That helps out a little bit. And you know what? The actual surrounding campus part of it.
It's beautiful.
It's great. Yeah. You walk down there but the field itself is pretty terrible. Or stadium, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Their over-under last year in wins was 1.5.
And they got it from Texas, which fired Charlie Strong.
I was all over the over on that just because it's really hard to just win one game for anybody.
Yep.
Whatever, especially in the worst Power 5 league in college football. What do you think it'll be Kansas next year? 3? 2.5?
2.5.
2.5?
2.5, yep.
Okay.
They're not going to go crazy.
Iowa State's over under, 4.5?
4.5, yep. I think 4.5's good.
It just sucks. Like,
you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if it was 3.5.
Iowa State's going to be a lot better next year. I really think that. But then the Big 12 is too. If you could put next year's Iowa State in this year's league, they probably would have been in a bowl game.
Probably. But once again, it all comes down to the offensive line. I think Iowa State's set up and well enough in other positions. As long as these JUCO defensive linemen come in and can play a little bit, it's all about the offensive line. If they stay healthy, Manning's going to do a good enough job where they're going to be able to move the ball. If they get hurt, if a Campos gets hurt again and they're playing walk-ons, I think we're going to see much of the same we saw this year, where they're not physical enough to win games in the fourth quarter.
And those D linemen are going to be big too. How do they progress? I'm glad everybody's excited about them, and you should be. It's still a wild card bringing in JUCO D linemen and completely relying on that.
Yeah. The good news is that Leo and Lima are both here on campus.
Correct. That's huge. I'm less concerned about Leo. The other guys, I'm kind of like, I think Leo, just his frame. But I thought that about Justin Thomas, too, and it took him forever.
It took him a while.
I mean, you really don't know until they get on campus. All right.
How about David Irving, by the way?
Jeez.
Sorry, I'm thinking of big guys that took a while to develop, and now all of a sudden David Irving is one of the best defensive tackles in the entire NFL. It's crazy.
One other one this won't make people sick because you never really saw him, but remember Colin Bevins?
Oh, yeah, we've talked about him a time or two on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might get drafted.
I would be surprised if he doesn't.
Yeah.
It's a big boy.
I'll give him credit, though. Rhodes and Shane Burnham both said when they recruited him that he'll be an NFL guy.
Yeah.
They both nailed it, except he just didn't.
Do it at Iowa State?
Yeah.
That was the problem with Rhodes. He had a couple defensive talent or defensive guys. They just didn't pan out. Charlie Rogers looked the part. I don't know if he ever ended up doing anything at Minnesota or not.
I don't either.
But remember him as a freshman on the football field? He stood out. Like, that guy looks like he belongs on the football field.
I remember Courtney Messingham telling me the day that those guys came on campus, Charlie Rogers and Dondre Daley. He loved them.
Yeah. They all loved Andre Daly. The problem with Andre Daly, he was like 16 when he showed up on campus.
Yeah.
He was really, really young.
And Rodgers, you know, there was a giant red flag when Iowa didn't recruit him.
Yeah.
Out of their own backyard. That's never really a good sign. Okay. One last school I wanted to discuss was Texas, just because I think they're interesting with Tom Herman going there. Tim Beck named the offensive coordinator play caller today.
The old Illinois coach.
Yeah, who was at Ohio State. He was quarterback's coach at Ohio State this year.
Was he the one that got fired for...
No, that's Tim Beckman.
Oh, Tim Beckman. Okay.
There's a difference.
Okay, yep.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Herman wins 9 or 10 games next year. I need to look at their schedule. I don't know what it is in front of me. But just, I think that there's talent there. I don't think that Charlie Strong didn't have a lot of talent. I think that it was a problem getting the most out of the talent.
Yeah.
And I think Herman will do that. I don't know if like Herman's like a, we're going to return to the Mack Brown era and win national titles. I don't know. That's really hard to predict. But my vision for what Herman does there, and I'm a Tom Herman apologist, so I'm going to put that out there right now. 9 games next year, 11 the next year, and you're playing for a national title at some point. Or you're in the conversation at least.
So you think he's going to be doing what Jim Harbaugh has essentially done at Michigan? I mean, Harbaugh, pretty much very similar setup.
I do. But I think he has more talent than Harbaugh did.
Harbaugh walked into some – Brady Hoke recruited. He had some – I mean, he walked into Jabril Peppers and some of those defense linemen. He had some nice players.
Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit.
But, no, there's no question he's got players. I always felt bad for Charlie Strong because he got there. There was not much.
He did all the dirty work, and then they got rid of him.
And they got rid of him, yeah. And – I don't blame them. You can't lose to Texas or Kansas at this point, right?
I still forget about that.
You can't lose to Kansas. You just can't.
Yeah.
But until then, I was all about giving Charlie Strong one more year. I never thought they were going to win a national championship with him, but I just thought he deserved another year. He recruited well enough that when Herman shows up there next year, they got players.
It's not an empty cover.
No, they got players. They got a quarterback of the future.
I'm going to have a hard time, and I need to do more research on this. I'm going to have a hard time putting TCU ahead of Texas.
I would agree with you on that.
In my preseason poll.
What's happened to Gary Patterson? Like, that team used to be known for defense. Their defense is terrible.
Did he overcompensate?
And try to get up to the spread?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking. I don't know. I don't know, and I love Gary Patterson.
I do too. But, man,
they were bad this year.
This was a year for them to have a chance to compete for the Big 12, and they just laid egg after egg.
I don't know, man. I think the days of TCU being top 2 or 3 in the league are
done.
I don't know. I just have that feeling. Maybe I'm writing them off too fast.
The fan support there is not great.
The fan support sucks.
It's in a great location, though. It's in Dallas.
They used to have that niche where they were, you know, kind of like Kansas State. They have their niche with the style of offense that they play, right, and what they do. TCU had that niche of being like a defensive team and Patterson and, you know, like hard nose. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
I think you need that. And I think Iowa State, we're going to continue to see. I don't know what it is. Heard Campbell talk about what he wants to do. We still haven't really seen it. You got to, if you're not one of the blue bloods in this conference, you've got to have something that you do well. Baylor did it.
Yep.
Oklahoma State did it. When what is TCU's right now? Unless Kenny Hill, it's possible that all of a sudden his talent is realized and that offense is really good.
Because I think their offensive coordinator is extremely
good. Yeah, and their defense gets better, and it probably will. But, I don't think that their pure talent is good enough to just go out there and rattle off 10 wins like it used to be.
No, I don't either. They probably were still riding the confidence the program as far as winning back in the Mountain West, because that carries over.
Absolutely.
When you're used to winning 11, 12 games.
If Boise comes over to the Big 12, they would win for a while.
For a little bit, and then I think it would catch up to them.
Yeah.
Because they have the confidence in the program where they expect to win all the time. It's like North Dakota State, right?
Patterson, LSU should have hired Patterson. I said that for a while. He wasn't even in the mix, but if I were LSU, he could – if you give Patterson, a program like that.
Yeah. I'm not sold on Ed Orgeron, although, man, did they just beat up on Lamar Jackson or what in that game?
I kind of like Orgeron. Here's why. Did you ever read Meat Market?
No.
Okay. It was a book that was written – I read it back when I was in Shenandoah. Yeah, Bruce Feldman wrote it. He followed Orgeron around when he was at Ole Miss, whatever. That's the only reason he was on my radar is because I read that book. But I think there's something to it where he's got a little Mike Zimmer feel to me.
Okay.
Where it's like a guy who just goes around and just wins and just
– Where? Where has he ever won?
Well, in his when he's given his opportunity at USC, won games.
Yeah, after
he was – Did that this year, win games. Like, let's see what he can do. Let's see what he could do at a good program where – because when he was at Ole Miss, it was – you know, that Ole Miss is different than it was – than it is today.
Yeah, because he was the coach then.
But you have to look at, like, previous history and stuff. Sure. I think he can do okay.
Devil's advocate.
I do think that there's always a red flag thrown when nobody else wanted him.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, to me, like, that would be my look at the hiring, my skeptic look. But I also think that I think he can win there.
Well, you said you follow him around, he wins, right? Ole Miss didn't win. USC, he was an assistant. They didn't win. They fired the head coach. LSU, they didn't win enough.
Who was the head coach at USC?
Was it Sark?
Yeah. But, I mean, can you blame Ed Orgeron for Sark being an alcoholic? And
Okay. So, LSU, great job. He's there. Gets fired. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm just saying he hasn't really been anywhere where they've won to expectations. Like, LSU wins. It's a big-time program, but not to expectations for them.
The problem with that job, and this is why I strongly was hoping Tom Herman, my guy, wouldn't take it, is if you're not beating Nick Saban, you're a failure.
Yeah.
Which
and it's very difficult to beat Nick Saban.
Nick Saban's the
– How about him getting rid of Lane Kiffin? I loved it. Loved it. I was calling for it during the middle of the game. I think I even texted you that.
I was pissed being a guy who had Bama at minus 13.
They should have won the game by 30.
I know. Read, I'll send it to you. Sports Illustrated did a piece on Kiffin last week.
Yeah.
Where Pete Thamel followed him around for like 2 days, just rode around with him in a car.
Is that what he talked about? His wife giving his wife half the money and the government half the money?
It was amazing. Like,
how does that guy keep getting chances, in
my
opinion?
I'll say this. I came away – I don't want to call myself a Lane Kiffin fan.
Jesus.
But I came away from that being like, damn, I kind of like this guy. Like, what did he say? He goes, you know, he goes, I used to joke with my friends that trying to find out who's trying to steal my money more, Obama or my wife. Now, he said that the government gets 52% of what he makes. His ex-wife gets 34, and he gets to keep 9.
And he lives in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. He was living – Kiffin was living in $2,200 a month, like student housing, during his time in Tuscaloosa.
Really?
This is Kiffin's point, and who knows if it's true, I mean, how he's grown up, about how when he was at USC, he and his wife were living in like a $12,000 a month penthouse, you know, just blowing money, just being stupid. And then at Tuscaloosa, like he actually buckled down and
got to work,
humbled himself a little bit.
You know what? I hope he
does well.
Yeah, I'm all about guys. You know, there's been a lot of coaches who have failed the first time, come back the second time, and been very good coaches. Bill Belichick failed with the Browns.
Yeah,
right.
Pete Carroll.
I mean, it happens quite a bit. So I hope he does well. But I haven't seen anything. Even people saying that he's the best play caller in America. I'm sorry. You give me Alabama's players. There's a lot better play callers out there than Lane Kiffin.
Another great quote was, what did he say? The whole thing's great.
I'll have to go read it.
It's a long read, but it's worth it.
Like, I just saw a snippet of it. That's all I saw.
If you like college football and if you're interested in the characters around in college football, it's fantastic.
Clemson have a chance of beating Bama?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
If
that line goes over a touchdown, I would take Clemson.
What's it at right now?
6.5. I think they can do it. Bama's offense, and I mean, I don't think replacing your offensive coordinator as bad as he was on Saturday, I don't see how that could be a positive going into that game.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to change like plays their style. I think they're just going to change how they call their plays. When your running backs get 9 yards a carry, you're throwing the ball on first down with a freshman quarterback. You have issues.
But
like,
you're
just not being very smart.
I still have questions on Washington. Like I know Ohio State got beat 31-0, but I mean, if you just there's a lot of ways to analyze those teams and who belongs and whatnot, but
people make a big deal out of it. If Ohio State makes those two field goals early,
yeah,
that game could be completely different.
I just never was a believer in Washington after watching them lose to USC.
I will say this though, Washington's defense was better than I thought.
It was.
They had some players on defense.
It was better. You're right.
But you know, the only chance Clemson's got, I've said all year, the only team that can beat Alabama is Clemson because they can pass the ball. In Alabama secondary, you can get open against them.
I'm not going to make my pick yet, but I think Clemson has a chance.
Okay. I hope you're right, man.
I think they do.
I think everybody wants to see Alabama lose.
Yeah, you're probably right there. Although I hate the fact that the ACC is getting better. They used to be my punching bag.
Well, I thought you were a Florida State fan.
Well, I am, but I still like making fun of the ACC because it was so garbage in football for so long.
It was.
And it's a pretty good league right now. Yeah. Top to bottom, it's hard to argue with what they're doing.
You know, earlier in the year, I said Boston College is not a terrible team and on the radio show on Thursday nights, and Bloom laughed at me. They won a bowl game this
year. They did. The top to bottom, they're not that bad. I mean, what are they, like 8-1 in bowl games now?
Is that really what they are?
7-1 in bowl games, something like that. I think 8-1 after Clemson the other night.
And the only one that lost was North Carolina, where they lost in a 2-point conversion.
Yeah. To a Stanford team that had really come on and played well at the end of the year.
And Stanford's a tough team in bowl games, in my opinion, because they're physical.
Yeah, especially when you're North Carolina and you have to travel to El Paso. Seriously, that's hard to do. Like, if you go, you laugh, look at the ACC's record in that bowl game.
Probably terrible.
It's horrible. I don't know. I don't remember the last. Like, remember when Miami went over there and they just get killed in that game? They played really well, North Carolina did.
So I saw a tweet last night that said, you know, people are mocking the Big Ten, but look, every one of them had to play essentially home games, right? Penn State had to play a home game for USC. Iowa had to play down in Florida, and they went and listed all this. Do you think there is something to that?
Yes.
You think there's something to that?
I mean, I don't put too much stock in it, but that's why, like, it's hard for me to just look at bowl records and claim them as the gospel because there's so many variables.
Well, and the quality of teams that they play is there's differences too, right?
I mean, I don't think that if I'm a Big Ten fan, that's kind of a BS move to hang your hat on that excuse, but there's probably a little bit to it.
Sure.
Especially when you're going west all the time.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Iowa to Florida, or teams to Florida, I don't think are huge. Because Iowa probably had as many fans there as Florida.
How excited were Florida fans to be playing Iowa in that game? Come on.
Yeah.
They're not.
The Iowa game shocked me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I did too. I thought they would win. That was horrible. Off. Absolutely horrible.
Can't believe they kept Beathard in that game. I felt terrible for him.
Tune into KXNO Fanatics today at 4, and we'll have plenty of discussion about
that. Are you taking calls?
Oh, yeah. We're going to light the world on fire this afternoon. It's going to be great.
So you're on that with Ross. How long does Ross's call-in show after the games go? As long as they have calls, they keep
going? I think 3 hours.
It had to be, because I got in the car last night to drive the family home, and the game had been over forever, and he was still on.
I think it's a three-hour post-game show.
Jeez. That sounds
my dream is that Iowa State, at some point, people care that much, and we can do that.
Do you, at the end of that show, are you out of calls?
Usually.
Do you think a lot of it is because most people driving for Iowa State are more centrally located?
That sound off was created because of I-80.
Yeah.
In Iowa City.
By the time you stick in traffic, which could be an hour, and then the 2 hour drive back.
That's why that show is so popular. I mean, and I would guess. But, hey, you know, yesterday nobody was driving, and they were still taking calls like 2.5 hours after the game. They had full phone lines.
Jeez.
Iowa State fans, like, you can say what we want. Like, they just don't care as much about football. They need to win. And I think it will happen.
I'm going to get Iowa State's fans back on this one. I don't know if I believe. Look at how many fans are there.
I'm not comparing them to Iowa. I'm just saying, like, in general, it's just not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they care less than Iowa fans. I'm just saying, like, the amount of people who will pick up the phone and, like, do something like that, there's just not enough people to do a three-hour postgame show.
It would be nice if Iowa State won enough games to even if they got their asses kicked on national television, that we were so demoralized that we had a three-hour show. But right now, we haven't played
we're used to it.
We haven't played a game meaningful enough, though, right?
No, exactly. It's not the fans' fault. It's like you got to
play a meaningful game.
And we could easily do a post-game show for basketball and take calls where Iowa couldn't.
No question.
You see my point? Like, you just – the winning has a lot to do with it.
Why don't they do calls like that after? We used to do it for Cyclone Fanatic, but it wasn't on...
It was on KXNO.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Cyclone Fanatic post-game show.
Iowa State's never done that.
No. But they extended pregame this year.
Did they?
They extended pregame. I mean, again, though, it's tough. Like, on a Wednesday night, by the time people get back to Des Moines, like, we used to feel that when we were doing that post-game show. You could tell... Like, our phones would be lit up until about 30 minutes after
we went on air.
Yeah, and then it'd die off because people get home.
Well, especially, like, we play Baylor 8 o'clock.
I would like to do a post-game show some year on Cyclone Fanatic, but we just got to figure that out at some point.
I think we can make that happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, good talk. We got to go. I got to go. I got meetings.
All right.
All right, buddy. Heartland Flags. Check out their website. All over the place. A little Christmas money, huh? A little Christmas money, spend it at Heartland Flags. Later.